This is Pat, and I'm coming to you this morning with the Clinton Journal for Friday, October the 10th. Arcosa building going back into production. The company will manufacture electrical transmission structures at the plant. By Gordon Woods of the Clinton Journal. A division of Arcosa plans to begin manufacturing electrical transmission structures at its former wind tower plant located north of Clinton along Route 51. The building formerly occupied by Thrall Rail Car and later used by Arcosa to build towers for wind turbines will be converted to manufacture galvanized structures that support electrical transmission lines. Arcosa ceased wind tower manufacturing at the facility in 2021. Representatives of the company made the announcement Tuesday during the Clinton Council meeting. Dan Coletta, Director of Human Resources for Meyer Utility Structures, part of Arcosa, offered the overview of the company's plan Tuesday. "We're excited to announce the reopening of that facility," Coletta said. "That location has a long history of manufacturing in this area." Coletta said Arcosa kept the plant, and there have been people working there planning for its future use. "Eventually, we will be doing hiring events and really a big ramp-up as we move on," Coletta said. "We aren't ready for that yet, but we wanted to make sure that we got in front of you with this announcement." Coletta said it was too early to know exactly how many people the plant would employ, but it expected to be more than 100. Meyer is a leader in transmission and distribution pole manufacturing, Coletta said. "Essentially, we support the electric grid. And as you know, the electrical grid is growing by leaps and bounds, which makes our business extremely stable." Coletta said the plan to reopen manufacturing in the Clinton plant is due to a shortage of capacity. "There's not enough capacity out there to produce transmission and distribution poles across the country," Coletta said. Meyer is also manufacturing in Alabama, South Carolina, Wisconsin, and Texas, as well as facilities in Mexico. The company also makes concrete poles in Alabama and Florida. "Work on the building is expected to begin in the next couple of months. We met with Michelle Durham a little over a month ago and told us the plan," said City Administrator Tony Harris. "Kurt Homan and I have been working on this, and the collaboration between the city, the mayor, and Joe Witt from the county and DCDC. I just want to say a big thank you to all of them because this came together nicely." And now from Clinton Lake, Ryman Memorial Duck Blind dedicated at Clinton Lake. Members of the Clinton Lake Ducks Unlimited and guests dedicated a new duck blind Saturday at the lake. The Bob Ryman Memorial Blind opened on Illinois Department of Natural Resources land after several months of fundraising and construction of the blind. The late Ryman was a charter member of the Clinton Lake chapter. Ryman's wife Norma and children Rob and Andy attended the dedication. A cookout followed with donated food from Kirby Food. Clinton Lake Ducks Unlimited Chairman Monty Campbell offered some remarks during the dedication. "I am pleased to have with us Bob's family, Mrs. Norma Ryman, Robbie and Andy," Campbell said. Campbell said the planning for the blind began last spring. "After several months of work, we have completed this permanent structure for the use of disabled hunters under the guidance of the Illinois Department of Natural Resources," Campbell said. Campbell thanked the Rymans, IMI Concrete, Mike and Joe Bennett, Mark Wilson, and Steve Schaefer, members of the building committee, MR Systems, Jim and Kathy Falb of Falb Welding, Scott Hopkinson, Wayne Peters, Watkins Jewelry, AAK Mechanical, and the families that supported the project and its fundraising. Campbell also thanked the Clinton Journal and Area television station for publicizing the project. "The duck blind is specifically handicapped accessible to serve disabled hunters. It replaced another blind that had deteriorated. This is the second duck blind the group has built at the lake." Campbell and fellow Ducks Unlimited member Mark Wilson, manned the booth during the Clinton Chamber Business Expo held last spring to spread a word about the planned duck blind. They sold raffle tickets and talked to visitors to the expo about their fundraising efforts. The project was in cooperation with the IDNR and local volunteers. Fundraising continued through the summer. Applications to the Use the Blind are through the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. Illinois Department of Revenue warns of new text message banking scam. Chicago. The Illinois Department of Revenue, IDOR, is warning taxpayers about a new nationwide text message scam targeting individuals with fraudulent messages that appear to come from state revenue or treasury agencies. This latest phishing scheme involves unsolicited urgent text messages claiming that a tax refund has been processed. Recipients are then asked to provide or verify their personal banking information under the threat of losing a state refund. This has been a significant rise in faked text messages impersonating state revenue departments, said IDOR Director David Harris. These scams are designed to deceive taxpayers and pressure them into revealing their most sensitive financial information. Let me be very clear that IDOR does not send unsolicited text messages asking for banking or personal information. IDOR primarily communicates through official correspondence sent through the U.S. Postal Service or through MyTax Illinois, the department's secure and free online account management platform. Unsolicited messages that claim to be from IDOR and arrive by text, email, or social media, particularly those requesting personal or financial information, should be considered fraudulent and ignored. Taxpayers should avoid clicking on any links and delete any messages. Protecting taxpayer information is a top priority, Harris said. If you're ever unsure about a message you've received, we strongly encourage you to reach out to us directly. Confirming with the department is the best way to ensure your information remains secure. Taxpayers who have questions about their Illinois refunds, account balances, or any correspondence received should verify that information directly with IDOR at tax.illinois.gov or by calling 800-732-8866. 800-732-8866. Bomb Charity Car Show winners selected. Clinton. More than 270 cars were displayed at Bomb Chevrolet Buick in Clinton Sunday, September the 28th, as part of Scott's 19th annual charity car show, raising $17,330 for God's Shelter of Love. The show featured 8 car classes and 3 Corvette classes, as well as truck, Jeep, street rod, and miscellaneous classes. Dan Burkett of Cornell, Illinois, earned Best in Show for his 1939 LaSalle Series 50 Coupe convertible. Participant's choice was awarded to Raleigh Paulsgrove of Galesburg, Illinois, and his 1968 Chevrolet Copa Nova for the second year in a row. Though the cars were key attractions, the event also featured a raffle for a 2025 Denango EV Rover XL golf cart and a bar table crafted from the front end of a 1965 Chevrolet Chevelle, as well as a 50-50 raffle and a raffle for art prints by Mary Watt Yerden of Bellflower, Illinois. Nat Sames of Longview Community Bank in Clinton held the winning ticket for the golf cart, while Glenn Rittenhouse, originally from Farmer City, Illinois, was the winner of the bar table. A committee of Baum employees selected God's Shelter of Love to receive proceeds from this year's car show, which will go directly toward helping women and children find safety, support, and the resources they need to rebuild their lives. God's Shelter of Love creates a safe, supportive environment where families in crisis can find stability and a path forward. The organization operates two housing programs, an overnight emergency shelter known as the Carriage House, and a 24-hour transitional shelter located at its main facility in Decatur. In addition to a warm place to stay, guests have access to meals, laundry services, and vital support such as job search assistance, mental health referrals, parenting resources, and housing placement. God's Shelter of Love also runs Blessing Dales, a local thrift store that helps fund shelter operations. With the help of God's Shelter of Love volunteers, the event is largely staffed by dealership employees and their families. More photos of the car show, including photos of all finalists in each division, can be found at www.facebook.com/BaumChevroletBuick. And now from the op-ed page, Chicago, an embarrassment. This is On Point by Richard Koritz. I am often bemused by the antics of Chicago politicians, but rarely do their antics create embarrassment and anger. That bemusement was escalated this past week. The callous disregard that Chicago politicians and the Chicago teachers showed for human life this past week was reprehensible. Illinois should be embarrassed and angered by the action of Chicago Mayor Johnson and Chicago Teachers Union in two events spread over 50 years. Some quick background on these two egregious actions by leaders of the Chicago community. Joanne Chesmard, a.k.a. Asada Shakur, was a radicalized black liberationist in the 1970s. She was wanted on bank robbery and other felonies when she was stopped by a New Jersey state trooper for a common traffic violation in 1973. A firefight occurred and the New Jersey trooper lost his life. Chesmard was convicted of murder and incarcerated in the Clinton Correctional Facility in New Jersey. In 1979, armed associates of Chesmard broke her out of prison and she fled to Mexico, then to Cuba. Fidel Castro gave her sanctuary and she died this past week in Cuba. The teachers' union referred to Chesmard as a liberation fighter and revered elder of black liberation. Mayor Johnson referred to Chesmard as an important person in the black liberation movement. This is the mayor of Chicago and the teachers' union that teaches the children of Chicago, praising a woman who killed an on-duty police officer during a traffic stop and then escaped from prison. Chesmard has lived in Havana, Cuba, where the police officer's family had to move on without him. The mayor and the teachers' union believe this woman is worthy of praise and honor. I believe most Illinoisans believe Chesmard should have died in prison, not as a guest of the Cuban government. The difference in the mindset of the rural Illinois and Chicago is often night and day. This case simply proves the difference. The other case is very similar in mindset. While it does not involve the teachers' union, it does involve the city of Chicago. A federal ICE vehicle was in Chicago on official business. A group of liberal activists located the federal officers and then blocked the ICE agent's vehicle in with their private vehicles, creating a very dangerous situation. The ICE agents called 911 and asked for local police assistance due to the serious situation. Chicago dispatchers declined to send officers to the scene for assistance. Email and dispatch records clearly show the Chicago police were told by the command officers to not assist the federal officers in distress. Law enforcement and the military have some very simple rules, and one of the primary rules is that an officer assists another officer in need of assistance. To intentionally refuse assistance when there is an obvious threat of physical harm is repugnant to every police officer I know. You take care of your fellow officers. And Chicago failed. Yes, there is a dispute between Pritzker and the president, as to allowing federal troops into Illinois to combat crime. This is a case of the city refusing assistance to federal officers. The federal government may have some legal hurdles in placing military troops in traditional local law enforcement roles. However, there is a supremacy clause in the Constitution that appears to give federal government some latitude. In this case, Pritzker and the city of Chicago may have just invited military troops into Illinois. The federal government has the clear legal authority to protect its assets. Federal police officers are U.S. assets. Here we have the local government refusing to protect federal officers. It certainly appears that the local authority, by default, has invited in the federal troops to protect U.S. agents. Common sense is lacking in Chicagoland. Richard Koritz is an Illinois native, attorney, and former DeWitt County State's Attorney. And this letter to the editor. Thank you to the people who make the Apple and Pork Festival a success. The C.H. Moore Homestead of DeWitt County Museum would like to thank those who attended the 57th Annual Apple and Pork Festival, those who provided monetary sponsorships and grants for the event, and all who contributed their time, talents, and skills to make this year's festival a success. The modest museum fundraiser, which established by the DeWitt County Museum Association to make possible the restoration and operation of the C.H. Moore Homestead, was based around a kettle of soup and a stack of sandwiches served on the museum's front lawn. More than 50 years later, the Apple and Pork Festival has evolved into one of Central Illinois' largest, longest-running, and best-attended fall festivals. The evolution is astounding. However, throughout the years, much has remained the same. The event continues to be a celebration of autumn's arrival, a tribute to our local heritage and agricultural roots, a source of community pride as we all combine our efforts to hope to uphold this annual tradition. Proceeds continue to allow the C.H. Moore Homestead DeWitt County Museum to operate, and above all, we still rely on volunteers to help make the Apple and Pork Festival an annual success. With sincere gratitude, Joey Long, Museum Director, and the DeWitt County Museum Association Board of Directors. And now, Capital News Illinois by Jerry Nowicki. Here's what's in Illinois' $50.6 billion six-year infrastructure plan. Illinois on Wednesday unveiled its largest six-year $50.6 billion infrastructure plan for the state's roads, bridges, railways, airports, and more. The plan spans all 102 counties and includes $32.5 billion over 6 years for roads and bridges, including $25.7 billion for the state system and $6.8 billion for the local system. It covers 8.4 million square feet of bridges and 7,107 miles of state roads, according to the Illinois Department of Transportation. The local funding will cover 1,654 lane miles and more than 1.3 million square feet of bridge deck. The state unveils a new multi-year plan each year. Governor J.B. Pritzker said this year's is the largest ever. You can't drive or bike or ride or walk anywhere in this state without seeing and feeling the impact of modernization that is underway in Illinois, Governor J.B. Pritzker said at a Wednesday news conference in Chicago announcing the plan. From Chicago to Rockford, from Decatur to Springfield, to Carbondale to Metropolis, no region of the state has been left out of this program. About half of the road and bridge funding, or $15.8 billion, is expected to come from the federal government, with $1.6 billion coming from bond proceeds, $1.3 billion from local reimbursements, and $13.8 billion in state funds. How Illinois funds transportation. State funding is largely made possible by legislation dubbed Rebuild Illinois that passed on bipartisan lines in Governor J.B. Pritzker's first year in office in 2019. Road and bridge funding comes mostly from the state's road fund, which is separate from the general revenue fund, which largely sustains the state's day-to-day operations. I'll remind you that we passed that bill years before the federal government finally got around to passing a major infrastructure bill, Pritzker said. The road fund's main feeder is the state motor fuel tax, which lawmakers in 2019 scheduled to increase with inflation each year, creating the funding mechanism that allows for the road and bridge investments. The state's motor fuel tax is 40.3 cents per gallon of gasoline and 55.8 cents for diesel. The funding bill also raised the price of vehicle registration starting in 2020, which for the most passenger vehicles is $151 per year. Since 2019, Rebuild America has dedicated $20.8 billion, including 21,309 miles of road improvements, 815 bridge improvements, and 1,181 safety improvements. Multimodal plan. The multimodal plan portion of the plan, covering public transit, rail, aviation, and marine infrastructure, is slated to receive $18.1 billion over 6 years, including state, federal, local, and private funds, according to IDOT. Of that, $13.8 billion is for 90 transit projects, $2.9 billion for 29 rail projects, $1.2 billion for 244 aviation projects, and $197 million for 28 marine projects, according to IDOT. Notable projects include $388 million for connecting Chicago and the Quad Cities via passenger rail, with an intermediate stop in Geneseo, between $2 and $5 million each for airports in the Metro East, Lansing, Rockford, Whiteside County, and Peoria, and $175 million to the Chicago Transit Authority for training and control facility. Capital News Illinois is a nonprofit, nonpartisan news service that distributes state government coverage to hundreds of news local outlets. It is funded primarily by the Illinois Press Foundation and the Robert McCormick Foundation. And from Urbana, the drought is intensifying across Illinois. An extremely dry end to summer and start to fall has intensified the ongoing drought in central and southern Illinois and increased the fire and blowing dust risk as we approach harvest, according to the Illinois State climatologist Trent Ford with the Prairie Research Institute. River levels have dropped near or below low stage, including the Kaskaskia, Sangamon, and Mackinac, among others. August was extremely dry in much of the southern and south-central Illinois, including in the western reaches of the St. Louis Metro East area, where virtually no rain fell. The extreme dryness and mid-month heat ushered in rapid onset or flash drought in southern Illinois, rapidly drying soils and vegetation. The quick dryness has contrasted with the extremely wet spring southern Illinois experienced. In fact, 2025 has been a top 20 wettest year on record through August in several counties, including Lawrence and Massac, despite the recent intense drought. In east central Illinois, August added to what has been an extremely dry year. To date, 2025 has been the 12th driest on record in Champaign County, 7 inches below normal, and has been the driest to date in Champaign-Urbana since 1988. Root zone soil moisture has depleted because of the below normal rainfall. soil moisture at 4-inch and 8-inch depths at the Illinois Climate Network station in Brownstown has quickly declined well below the wilting point and level of severe drought over the last month. The soil moisture decline has occurred following an extremely heavy rain event in July, where the station picked up more than 5 inches of rain in less than 12 hours. The combination of drought and mid-August heat has also sped up crop dry down and likely affected some yields in the driest parts of the state. Water table levels have also dropped across the southern half of the state as soil moisture is depleted. Water table levels at the Illinois State Water Survey's WARM station in Peoria dropped more than 5 feet between July 1st and September 1st. And also in the news, free senior breakfast and bingo October the 29th in Clinton. Calvert's is sponsoring a free senior adult 60-plus breakfast and bingo at the DeWitt County Friendship Center from 10 to 11:30 a.m. on Wednesday, October the 29th. Enjoy free bingo games, free food along with cash prizes and giveaway. Seats will be available on a first-come, first-served basis. And now a note, WIC remains open during government shutdown. An editor's note, in response to questions about the fate of the WIC program, Women's, Infants, and Children, during the government shutdown, the DeWitt-Piatt Bi-County Health Department posted the following information. Women's, Infants, and Children's WIC remains open for business as usual in Illinois. Illinois WIC clinics will continue to operate during the government shutdown. This includes providing food benefits, nutrition education, breastfeeding support, and referral services. If you are a military family affected by base clinic closures, you can visit any Illinois WIC clinic for food benefits, nutrition education, breastfeeding support, and referral services. If you have questions, please contact our WIC departments for more information. For Clinton, the phone number is 217-935-3427. Again, 217-935-3427. And in Monticello, 217-762-7911. 217-762-7911. Farmers City seeks parade entries. Entries are needed for the 2025 Farmer City Christmas Parade, set for Sunday, November the 23rd, the Sunday before Thanksgiving. The parade will begin at the Farmer City Fairgrounds at 2 p.m. The theme for this year's parade is A Candy Cane Christmas. The annual Christmas parade, sponsored by the Farmer City Chamber of Commerce, is traditionally one of the largest Christmas parades in central Illinois and always draws a huge crowd from spectators throughout the area. Traditional entrants include various high school bands, shrine entries, holiday floats, former WCIA weather forecast Judy Frazier, and many others. Individuals and groups are encouraged to enter and join the other individuals, groups, and businesses already lined up for this year's parade. Individuals or groups who wish to enter are asked to contact Chad Wills, parade chairman, at 309-386-2791. That's 309-386-2791. Visit the Farmer City Christmas Parade Facebook page for additional information. And now a couple of notes from history. On this day, 1959, Pan American World Airways announced the beginning of the first global airline service. In 1965, the Red Baron made his first appearance in the Peanuts comic strip. 1977, Joe Namath played the last game of his National Football League career. In 1994, Iraq announced it was withdrawing its forces from the Kuwaiti border. No signs of a pullback were observed. And on that note, I'll say goodbye. Have a good weekend, and I'll be back with you again next week.